に上がりゃ関係ねえ。
Shall we begin?
Winter is coming.
I can do this all day.
Tear down this wall.
行くぞ。
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the newest episode of the Unscriptified Podcast, brought to you by yours truly and powered by Jägermeister. Today's episode is bound to transport you to a realm of magic, mystery and wisdom, and all we have to do is decide what to do with the time given to us for this episode. And in this episode, we are ready to dissect and analyze one of the most recognizable book and movie characters, Mithrandir, or Gandalf if you may. Is a symbol of guidance, resilience, and the eternal struggle between light and darkness. Gandalf, created by Ilúvatar before the music of the Ainur, nor god nor elf, first great and light, wise and reasonable, he roamed the Middle-earth in search for quest, trying to keep evil and shadows at bay. Lucan, are you ready? Owen, how you doing?
We're talking about the Rings of Power version of Gandalf.
We are dissecting that. It even has its version of Gandalf.
Well, we'll see.
I wouldn't be surprised if Sauron turns out to be Gandalf.
For Sauron at the beginning, this is not Sauron. You know, they show you blatantly and they try to make you believe that this won't be it. You know, I think it's same with the old man in the forest, obviously, aside from Rings of Power, who it didn't do well enough job of presenting those characters in the world. Gandalf is, I think, probably even the most recognizable character to the wider audience from the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit. And perhaps that's because he's that mentor character and every, you know, expanded universe, world building has that kind of a mentor character that's wise old man, as we say. He's often a popular character in his own right. Gandalf is no exception. He acts this story as a mentor, as a guide, as somebody who, gives a little push to protagonists who do not even know that they are protagonists yet. He starts off a story in some sense, and he makes a very interesting character because he in some sense pushes the narrative, it's like he is almost always trying to be that passive character to make others do these great deeds more than putting himself in the first position, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's also this little bit of struggle to divide when you talk about Gandalf between the book original version that Tolkien himself wrote and the version that we got from Peter Jackson in the movies.
Yes,
obviously the version in the movies is more familiar with our listeners, with broader audiences, with everybody basically, because I do not know a single person who doesn't know Gandalf, for example.
Yeah.
No matter the age, the gender or anything, but they are very similar.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, as you said,
the difference between Hobbit versions or
I mean, in The Hobbit, he is more of a G.I. Joe Middle-earth in the movie. but it's also good that movie has that potential which book did not have, to portray Gandalf as this demigod some sense, because he is a demigod in some sense. But and also in books, when you talk about Gandalf, when you compare Gandalf from the writings like Silmarillion and Lord of the Rings, where in the Lord of the Rings he's more passive and everything, but then you find about his him being a deity, him being a Maiar, what Maiar means, it's all on some grand on the grand scale,
yeah.
While you are introduced to him in Hobbit and in Lord of the Rings as the old wizard, which he is not.
Yes. Yeah, and that's kind of a, for me at least. But you find that about that later if you go a little bit deeper into the Middle Earth universe, because you have a, when you hear the word wizard, you have a certain perception, right?
Yeah.
Of what the wizard means. But in Middle Earth universe, wizard isn't exactly what would you comprehend as a wizard in the
in Harry Potter.
Yeah. And Harry Potter greatly influenced that. And you in the Middle Earth, it's not exactly wizard that. I mean, first of all, it is stated that wizard is just the name that, right, they got not by themselves, the Ishtari, but it was given by the people of the Middle Earth. They're more like wise men, almost. You know,
yeah.
They're all in that magic that we connect to the wizard. It doesn't have this, you know, fire from the staff kind of conundrum. It's more about Gandalf uses some
a little bit of exorcism.
Yeah, but here in the book, right in the forest. So there is a little bit of fire as well, but it's more like a exorcism, and there's a little light on his staff, but it's not like a spell and a magic as we comprehend. Or it's a lot more subtler.
Yeah, for his time among hobbits and men, it kind of like Gandalf becomes more simple, you know. He becomes this concept, this other concept of wizard. But if you think about Gandalf of the first age, of the second age, Gandalf actually practiced that magic a little bit more.
Yeah.
And he even often disguised himself as the unseen, walking among elves, taking their appearance, you know, and sending them these fair visions in their hearts and something like that. But
yes, and you get the feeling that also, especially in the book, after his return as the Gandalf the White, he's almost, I mean, obviously you cannot portray that in a film, I mean, realistically, but he's in the book.
Jesus.
Yeah, he's described as a Gandalf as a White, his return. Almost like Tolkien describes him as this almost non-grasping figure. Like, he's not even of a flesh and bone in some sense. Everything about him is like almost divine. It's like he's something that you wouldn't comprehend with unless you see it, if you know what I mean. Obviously, for the film purposes of realism, you cannot rate like that. But he's almost given this, that he, when in the book, he's given this next level portrayal. Like, you get the feeling like he could solo the entire army, the Rich King, which, according to some forums of Tolkien, which are always entertaining to read for me, he could. So you get that feeling, but because of his role that bestowed upon him and his mission in the Middle Earth, cannot, am I right? He cannot do it by himself. So sort of thing. He's there to help the people, like inspire them to fight against Sauron. But he's not there to do the job himself.
But when he died, because he basically died in that battle with Balrog. And he was resurrected, and I jokingly said he's Jesus, but he kind of is Jesus of the Middle Earth.
Yes.
But
closest thing you have to Jesus.
I mean, when he's brought back, he's brought back by Eru himself once again, and he's brought back with more strength, with more of his inner mire diminish.
Divine intervention.
Divine intervention, indeed.
but is it also like interesting? Isn't it right in the Middle Earth universe? There's a whole point about gods not interfering, not about the free will of the elves, dwarves, and that these godly creatures that are on some island, they make a full effort about not interfering in the affairs of the Middle Earth creature.
Yeah, yeah.
But this here, right, divine intervention.
The hand of God, yeah.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. His extension of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if you go back, but it's, again, it's a different story, but if you go back to the war with Melkor, actually, elves did all the fighting themselves against this Dark Lord, the first Dark Lord, the original Dark Lord, the big baddie.
Yeah.
Not the Sauron, the bitch. But, I mean, they did it all themselves until the very end, where Valars finally decide to intervene and to help elves win over Melkor or Morgoth.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
They only come at the end, and I was kind of like, push it out.
But
Finn already died.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
A lot of good men died.
Good elves.
Yeah, good elves.
Good people, you know, pulling these guys until they showed up. So, yeah, they were late.
Yeah, but I mean, Return of Gandalf as white this time. Even in movies, it's some resurrection between the lines. Even in movie, he talks about his return as I'm now something else. I'm not anymore Gandalf the Grey.
Yes.
No. And
he takes other form almost. Yeah, that's what I talk about. He doesn't seem humanly. What kind of talking I get the sense wants to convey to the reader.
Hmm?
It's like this person is not person anymore. It's something almost purely untouchable.
Almost Meyer.
Yeah, purely untouchable. But. It's also like that, you find that a little bit of, I know that Tolkien was Catholic, and there was some, obviously, all the Norse mythology is a great influence in...
Yeah, and British folklore.
Yeah, and British folklore, but also there's...
Which is influenced.
Yeah, but when you talk about, for example, and this is not all only connected, obviously, to Christianity, you find this in other religions as well, but... exactly that motif of free will and the divine intervention, because the great point about some schools of Christianity say that, you know, when there's a point, some people say, well, how can if God is all good, how can be, you know, this evil in the world, you know, the cancer and kids and war? But what some people will tell you is that God gives free will, and if he intervenes, he messes with the free will and blah blah blah, and you know, the God's work on earth can only truly be our own, as Kennedy says. There's that theme of messing with the free will of the creature we created, and that is kind of interesting.
Yeah, like you spoke earlier, it's all about free will, but I really love that part of Tolkien's story, that the origin of Middle-earth and Narda and the life in that universe, it all became from the songs. He was beyond time, Eru, the Ilúvatar. He created these Valars to sing him songs, and those songs created all of it, the music, and then you have the rapture with Morgoth, etc., etc.
Yeah, it's a very nice origin. And also it's
more abstract origin than realistic one that you tend to do with those kind of fantasies, paradoxically.
Yeah, but a lot of creators don't even go that far to that point of creation of the world and blah blah blah. You know,
a lot of creators do not go far with most of the things Tolkien did go far with.
Yeah. But Gandalf is also, in that sense, a character. When he said at the beginning of Lord of the Rings, and also at the beginning, especially when you look at the beginning of Hobbit, he knocks on a door of Bilbo Baggins.
Mm-hmm.
He says to the dwarves, "This guy will help us, you know, enter the mountain."
Mm-hmm.
He puts this character in these situations.
Yeah.
Expect them to reach out and, you know, unexpectedly reach their potential that they do not even know they have. And
he serves character development.
Yes. And that is that mentor role, because he almost takes not the characters that are meant to be or are chosen one or fated, even though some could say otherwise, but I think it's almost the opposite. And there goes that my favorite quote, you know, these of small people and mm-hmm. everyday people, because literally hobbits are small people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hobbits, Frodo and Bilbo, these situations, and he expects them to rise up
mm-hmm.
almost. And he almost expects it of all the characters, of all the fellowships, mm-hmm. all the dwarves, to almost rise up to their fullest.
Mm-hmm.
As he walks by them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is a very inspiring sort of character to have in the story, especially because mm-hmm. other characters in the Middle-earth universe are they're not complex in a sense that you don't have a lot of great characters. Like, I mean, you kind of have, but not in the way of Game of Thrones. Like,
yeah.
Errol, like all the members of the Fellowship, are except Boromir, which sounds that human, you know, like clock. They're very admirable characters.
Mm-hmm. But Boromir is also admirable character.
Yeah, admirable character. But Gandalf always tries to make them almost see them, be better.
Better versions of themselves.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's also this, it's kind of one of my most memorable scenes from the movie. It's from the first one, when Gandalf fights with Balrog, and when the rest of the Fellowships gets out of the Moria, you know, and they are on those rocks. Rocks are chasing them, and they are all broken. Frodo is broken, Sam is broken, Legolas is shaked, Gimli as well, Boromir. And they are all mourning the loss of Gandalf in that moment, you know. And in that moment, Aragorn tells them, come on, let's go, move on. And I'm like, what the fuck, mate? You should give them a shoulder to cry on. You know, and Boromir says, for fuck's sake, give him a moment, you know. And that's one of my, because of those conversations, this correlation between all those characters in that exact moment in the movie, I point out in the movie, is one of my, in some sense, very, very, very dear scenes in the movie.
But you have to understand that when Aragorn drew Sigma, original Sigma male,
writes
a true masculinity, not Andrew Tate. But he's also... he's almost like a model character. You know.
I mean, he is a king that is meant. But,
but he's also the... And I you find that example maybe in also Maximus, Gladiator, and maybe Jon Snow. A real figure, like a D-man, you know, that checks all the boxes.
Mm.
The leadership, the skill to fight, the ability to not be corrupted. So in a sense, it makes sense that Aragorn is always ready to move on. He's always ready to accept the situation and continue still fighting, still being the best version of himself. So, but the other characters obviously are not the kings.
Yeah. And you spoke about the small people, hobbits. In this case, I think it's mentioned, or it's from all those scholars, that actually Gandalf, it's obvious that Gandalf like hobbits more, their presence, to be in their presence, than presence of elves and humans, elves later, because he also adored being with elves at the time, because they are not touched by those great evils of the world, you know. They were more in touch with nature than men, you know. And everything. And then you have all those stories about them basically being ecologists of these or the Tolkien's universe. But
what do you think about George Martin saying that Gandalf should have stayed dead? How about that for a turn of events would be?
How many of his characters stay dead?
Now, you know,
he even brought back one guy 14 times.
Yes.
So what the fuck is he saying?
to bring back if you were bringing back somebody. right?
Yeah.
I mean.
But he brought back Catelyn Stark. That's a spoiler. I mean, that's not spoiler. I don't know what it is. But in the books, he brought back Catelyn Stark for your information.
Yes. Yeah. But also, George, like, you know, he obviously brought these characters. There were better options, as I say. Obviously, got also in purpose later. But one of my favorite scenes, actually, when you remember in the third one when they're chased, the riders were chased by Nazgul, and he kind of takes the horse and rides and lifts the staff and lights. And there's the beautiful music, and Nazgul's almost going away. That's the of him.
More like Moses.
Yeah.
More magic, bigger bird.
Oh, yeah. And Moses also was kind of a badass, more badass than Jesus.
Yeah.
That was such a. And I think that's this representation of what that Gandalf the White meant.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gandalf the Grey is this wise character. This leader. Inspires the characters, fixes some of their problems, you know. Of the White is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Always like, there's something about him, light, hope, everyone on that battle. And that's maybe something that fine side that maybe Gandalf the Grey, his previous version, won't have. He brings respect, but maybe not that level of just admiration.
Mm-hmm.
This version, at least that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it all comes together because Gandalf is really intuitive, you know. Because even if he is immortal wizard, you know, he has this ability to strategize, to plan, and to piece together unrelated pieces.
Yes,
in some sense. Because even when we finish Hobbit, he knows in the movie, he knows that Bilbo has the One Ring, you know, it's, and he says, yeah, there are many of them.
Yes.
Keep it, I don't know. What
keep it clean. No, it's clean, son.
Yeah. But he is able to do the information and conclude that that's actually the ring that Bilbo has is the One Ring. You know, and he is the crucial in this Council of Elrond, which is the secret meeting and everything. And then you go up to fly, you fools.
Yeah.
Probably the sentence that defined his whole career.
Yes. And, also, one of the interesting about the character is he's very easily pissed off. But
yeah. Yes.
Which doesn't add to that divine.
Mm-hmm.
Characteristic. Mm-hmm. But he's very easily, you know.
He was described as quick to anger and quick to laugh as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he said that name, full of a took when
he
reveals himself to the Dark Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, was a little bit too harsh, maybe.
He's not sure.
Also, like, it's Eric Pippin. He talks to him about that being just another path. You know, he almost in that scene describes heaven itself. That's a different down moment. Rulak sense and the darkness in that moment, especially in that scene.
Yeah.
Because that's not a speech to an army or anybody. Tells it with puppet. And he kills him. I think that's very beautiful because it stays on a single level. Mm-hmm. Doesn't rally the army, but it rallies one man, and maybe rallying one man is enough.
Yeah.
At least that's how I see it.
I mean, that's how he saw it.
I suppose.
Also, he has this quote, "Well, here at last, dear friends, on the shores of the sea, comes the end of our fellowship in Middle-earth. Go in peace. I will not say, do not weep, for not all tears are an evil.
He shared his way with words. But, and also, Gandalf, only of the same history that fulfilled his duty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has achieved the goal.
Yeah.
That succeeded. For bragging on this, because his colleagues obviously couldn't do it. Like, one of his colleagues was so unsuccessful that he turned heel. You know, that's also one of the...
Yeah, and his spirit was defeated by the hobbits at the end, because, you know, the end that you got in the movie is not really the end of their story, because they go back to Shire and they fight the spirit of Saruman.
Yes, they fight. When I read it, I didn't know about it. But when I was surprised when Saruman doesn't die second one.
Yeah, but I mean, he also kind of dies.
Yeah.
His physical form dies in that moment, but it's also like the Gandalf, but he's not brought back by Eru, the Ilúvatar. He's not, because he's a spirit. He must be accepted in this world. Rebirth and everything else, but he's not accepted and his soul is left like the Flying Dutchman. Winding up in
Shire. And then, weird part for me, because I am finishing what I think is the finish of the Return of the King.
Yeah.
And we are crowning and we're done and still have like a 50 pages level.
Yeah.
50 pages. And then you have a whole arc of them coming back, breaking down the evil totalitarian government usurped by Saruman and that piece of shit that whispered in the ear of our king. We're like, ever show this and then? because obviously when you first watch a book, it's kind of a weird experience. You go, maybe this is unnecessary, but when you read it throughout you kind of this gives a little bit of closure to the hobbits as well, shows how much they grew after this journey.
Yeah,
that they even succeeded in this final task before, and then there goes like 50 years, and all that they go to the I don't know if it's exactly 50. It goes a huge amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
They actually go off into the Andaya land.
Yeah. Yeah,
but... farewell is actually much better than because the last scene in the book is with Sam.
Yeah,
and it's kind of a beautiful closure.
Yeah, but I mean, movie, you kind of feel like here's the end. Oh no, this is the end. This is the end. It's just scenes from scene after scene.
We kind of get a little bit of montage almost.
Yeah. But back to Gandalf, like you said, he is like this guide for the whole time, but he do act, you know. He has this ability to take control over the situation, you know, because he even at the end in the Return of the King, in the books, in the movies, he leads the army.
Yes,
he leads them to the victory. At the end, basically, but he do not hesitate to step in, you know, and lead the troops.
Yeah, he definitely does things.
Yeah,
but you have a feeling like he could be a main guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But what is also beautiful in all of that, and in his in the movie fight with Saruman, with all those, even he's immortal and everything, and white and gray and blah and blah, he is not one of those guys that never expresses fear, because he expresses fear in the scene that you mentioned that you like very much, with Palantir, when Pellegrin look at the Palantir and Sauron sees him. Gandalf basically expresses fear at that moment. Not exactly the fear that he will die, but he feared that they will lose, that he unravels some secrets that he shouldn't have and everything.
Yes. And I think the essence of his character could be summarized on the Council of Elrond,
Frodo says that he will take the ring tomorrow, and he says to him, oh, in the movie, I will help you bear this burden, Frodo Baggins, long. He is not, you get the feeling.
Then we go to Sephiroth.
You get the feeling that he could be almost a main character, but he is not. And that's all, his whole purpose is that he will do a bunch of shit. He will be the most MVP of this journey, except maybe for Sam. But he, it is not up to him to do the job of the Middle Earth beings.
Yeah. He was not sent there for that. And I will use his words of the resurrection. I feel I'm beyond your comprehension.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So he does his job, does it successfully, and in a sense, there's also that part of the story that's very relatable and beautifully relatable, because, like I said, you get the feeling that this divine creature could solve this. But in the end, it's kind of we solve this. And that makes you feel good. And I think that at the end of the day, those kind of fantasy stories are meant and make book. I like Jujutsu. Is that something?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 And with that, I will wrap up and go with quote. And you know, all those who lost, who wonder are not lost, but I choose a quote for similar approach.
Lately, I used the caption
from Yugoslavian writer Meša Selimović, which our audience is already familiar with. And he said in our language, pa u tome jeste sve, vraćate se. S jedne tačke, na zemlji čeznuti, polaziti i ponovo stizati. Bez te tačke, za koju si vezan, život nije odlaženje i vraćanje, nego lutanje. And translated to English, it would be, well, that's what it is all about, coming back. Longing from one point on earth, leaving and arriving again. Without that point to which you are tied, life is not going away and coming back, but wandering. Stay true and stay tuned until next week.
We stay genuine, uncensored and unscripted, and we always will, as we have to order our usual. Share us, subscribe us, and stay tuned until the next Wednesday.
Iguzo!